opening back up. So much to do. So many people to see in person again. Oh, they look different. Well, I'm sure I look different too. And as you dwell on those concerns, the insecurities, the excitement, your unconscious only cares about one thing. That it's tuned in to its favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. Yes, welcome to Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hey everybody, what's going on? Greg Bornstein, your host, your consciousness disruptor, your cultural hypnotist. I'm a looper. If you're listening, you're about to get looped, punk. Yes, welcome to Open Loops. Now, what the heck in the world is an open loop? We'll get to that in a second. You see, this is a show designed to take us away from waking reality and transport us into the land of possibility. Infinite curiosity, fantasy, mystery, magic, the hypnotic, the fringe, the transformationally psychological. Anything that provokes the imagination, that causes the intellect to want to escape or to learn more, to dig in. My goal on this show is to bring on guests and speak for myself in a way that is designed to challenge your existing belief systems with radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind so you can step into the highest version of yourself. Because that's just what an open loop is. It's an unconscious provocation. It's the thing that makes you want to know more. It's the thing that wants you to find out the answer. When I asked what an open loop was, and I didn't answer the question immediately, I opened something in your head, a space for growth. Yes, we are all about chasing the loops on this show. That is my goal. And even the title of today's episode is designed to be a bit of a provocation. Body worship. Now, typically, when you think of body worship, you think of people, you think of Ed Sheeran. The time that we culturally let this talented ginger male, and again, you know, gingers get a bad rap for some reason, jokingly so, but yes, we really accepted this red-headed proclamation of loving your shape, your figure. He loved it. And we let him say he loved it, and we danced to it. Maybe this is a pre-COVID world. Maybe we don't embrace people from other nations writing bopping songs praising the shapes of our lovers. We might be over that. I'm not sure. But the fact is, the fad hasn't changed. We still look at the media. We still worship bodies. Now, when you think about what body worship is, everybody also says on the other flip side of it, your body is a temple. And that's more what I mean today. Because my guest, Megan Jones, is a holistic health coach and trainer. And yes, I do bring up the superficial aspects of all of this, because why not? That's the fun stuff to me. But Megan has some really grounded, really spiritually poignant responses to her approach to training people. Definitely shattered a lot of the trepidations I have when it comes to getting in better physical shape and eating healthier. Body worship and the Tao of body worship means that, yes, at some level, you need to worship your own body and even embrace the deeper why of why you might want to worship it in this superficial way. Body worship isn't going away just because we have a better relationship to comparing ourselves to others. As a matter of fact, by the end of this episode, you'll learn that body worship is perhaps all there is. I'm reclaiming it today. And in a way, I think Megan Jones is as well. If you enjoy Open Loops, please make sure to share this podcast with your friends and family. If you like this, make sure to follow it on Apple Podcasts. And if you have the opportunity to rate the show and leave a review, even a few words makes a difference with this content getting out there. Really appreciate it. And also, before we go into this, I would like to say that coming soon, this is a big opportunity here. I'm very excited about this. There is an event. Total Disclosure. This is going to be a wild, wild ride, I have to tell you. It's coming up August 5th through the 10th, presented by Watchers Talk and Full Spectrum Universe. It's not just Alien Disclosure. It's going to be about health. It's going to be about hypnosis. It's going to be about cults. It's going to be about all different sorts of religion, spirituality. This event is going to be like none other. It's a virtual event. Watchers Talk in Full Spectrum Universe. I will be emceeing at it. Total Disclosure, 55 influencers in their field speaking. This is going to be a wham-bam intellectual smackdown of sorts. There is a link to it in the show notes of this episode for you to register. Highly recommend this. This is going to be a game changer. I love doing these conferences, and this one's going to be the best one yet. If you like the topics on this show, you have to come to Total Disclosure. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. Looking forward to it. In the meanwhile, though, hey, get healthy. Quit sitting around and listening to this podcast. Walk a little bit. I'm telling myself after I'm finished recording this. Megan Jones delivers. It's coming up. Enjoy. Megan Jones, the IIN certified holistic health coach. Who even knows what those letters mean? AFAA, certified personal trainer. Yes, what is this nutrition, lifestyle, physical health expert doing on this show? We're going to find out, because I'm going to tell you right now, Megan has different perspectives on the way the world works, the way reality works, different things. And look, I mean, you throw the words holistic, integrative, nutrition, health coach around it, and I know there is a spiritual component to it. So we're going to go into all of it. Megan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
So happy to be with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You were telling me before we started that you have no idea where this is going to go. It could be all over the place. I mean, do you look, based on everything I've seen for Wellness on Purpose, that's your main website, wellnessonpurpose.org, you kind of go into some of this interesting stuff. You do intuitive talk. You have these different, you talk about mindfulness. I mean, are you telling me right now, it gets a little spiritual for you? I know it does, right? This kind of work?
Spiritual for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. Like, all of it. It's all connected. So, yeah.
Yeah. Was it always that way? Did you imagine that you were going to get into this physical and health space and have this other spiritual component, or did that come later? How did it work for you?
It's interesting. I had no idea, and I had a different career completely. But I've always been into like whatever, I mean, like a lot of people are, whatever like eating fad was, you know, like in the fat and the, you know, early 2000s, like no carbs or whatever, right? The fads, and you kind of ride those waves and realize that it doesn't work for you at all. So those, I've always done those and been interested in health and the body and everything. And I got into personal training just because I thought it would be fun. I was raised and I'm a classical violin player.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I never realized that everything would sort of come together for me to be able to be, health and wellness and spiritual all at once, but it really feels right. So here I am.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. I know part of your story is you reached out to a peak performance coach. What was your mindset going into that? Why did you want to seek out that kind of support?
Trying to get the big job, the big, you know, cause like, and I did, after I started to work with him and study with him, like I started to like perform better with auditions. It was to help with performance anxiety, cause performance anxiety is crippling.
Yeah.
You know? But he was assigning me books that were so, you know, supposedly, air quotes, nothing to do with, you know, performance anxiety, but everything to do with performance anxiety, you know, all about, I mean, psycho-cybernetics is one of them, Max.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was like the first book he assigned me. And then he would assign me anything from like that Nitch Han to Wayne Dyer to Louise Hay, Neil Donald Walsh, and all those people, right? And then I started to like look into other things myself, just because I was like, why are all these people saying the same things?
Yeah.
So it was fascinating and it really did help with my violin playing, but it also shifted how I exercise and it shifted how I ate and it shifted how I looked at relationships. And so I started to just keep reading more and more and more about that. And I actually was holding exercise and like nutrition, not separate, but nothing separate. So.
Oh, whoa. You went on some kind of spiritual trip there for a second. Yeah, you know, I could tell. Look, I mean, you holistic, integrative. I mean, that's the implication is that you see the connection between all things. That's very interesting. Was there a moment? I feel like there had to be a moment where you dipped into the pool of the collective consciousness. Was there, I mean, you can read all this stuff, but it really takes an experience, I think, for people to know that it's all connected in a much more profound way. Tell me about that. What happened for you?
I mean, was there a moment? I think there've been a lot of moments, and like a lot of it, you start to see. Man, that's a good question, because I think for a lot of people, they have like a frying pan to the head moment.
Yeah.
My frying pan to the head moment was when I was like feeling at the lowest of low and reached out to that peak performance coach. And then I was like, oh, this isn't just all about my stage fright. This is actually all about how I live.
Hmm.
And, oh, okay. Then I started to do other things and read other books, and life happens, right? Relationships end and begin and shift, and you feel like you're gonna, you know, never be the same. And I went through a big breakup, which was healthy, you know, retrospectively, and started to see, saw a therapist for a couple years. She really helped me through. And at the end of that, she's like, well, would you really like to start shifting other things and get rid of this? I think you're doing very well, but would you want to? And she sent me to her friend who's an energy healer.
Okay, that's where things get interesting.
That was a very pivotal moment, because it wasn't like I didn't have any big aha moment, but my path has been like, it's been windy but fairly clear right now, who I went to, linked to that person, linked to this person. And now I actually have mentored with shaman.
Oh, that's where I was going. I knew there was ayahuasca coming into this at some point. Wait,
I've never played with ayahuasca.
Neither have I. It just seems like it's something that people do.
They do. They go down to Peru and really learn about things. Haven't yet.
Is that in the Megan Jones trajectory?
I mean, maybe. I mean, a lot of my friends who are in, you know, the shaman world or practicing shaman have learned a lot. So
Yeah, you know what's interesting about you? What I'm picking up energetically is that there is a sense here, Megan, that you kind of, at least at the place you're talking to me from now, seem to, I don't know, I feel like you, even this podcast, right, you kind of just dropped into it and you're going with the flow, seeing what happens. And I, you know what, when I imagine violin players, I always sense this, and it's a stereotype for sure, this rigidity. You need to, it, that is the instrument, that it has to be right, dun, 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 dun. And I can imagine that being stuck in that mindset, potentially, I mean, could make you feel higher anxiety, could make you feel like there's a perfectionism. I equate it as the perfection instrument. You're a violin player, you have to get it right in practice. And were you, I mean, if I had talked to Megan Jones at the height of I guess the height of your bottom, when you were in this position and you had this anxiety, would I have talked to a really different kind of person?
Oh, 100%. Like, I don't even think I'm at all the same person. Yeah, completely different. And your description of violinists, yeah, it's funny because we are like sort of the type.
They're the Germans of the instrument players.
Exactly. Tightly wound, super tightly wound. And yeah, perfectionism is part of it for a lot of the instrumentalists, though, all instruments, right? But like, yeah, tightly wound and perfectionism. And there is a rigidity because you need to play in this manner, you know, really well, but also expressively, but in this box, but expressively in this box. So it's,
oh, that's interesting.
It's a very challenging career to have. It's a challenging thing to do. And yeah, before I reached out, his name is Don Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. He's incredible. So that peak performance coach. His name is Don.
Yeah. What's his kind of, I mean, you mentioned all the spiritual books. What's his sort of big picture take on this kind of stuff?
He deals with people who, I don't even know how to describe him, who work in super, super intense, high anxiety type arenas to try to get them, I think, more internal and more balanced and more in control and seeing a bigger picture. Because he works with professional golfers and SWAT teams and opera singers and CEOs. And he works with people that have that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think his take is what mine is now, a different version of, but the much bigger picture.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you think that you were, was there something that drew you to this person? Was it just a recommendation? I mean, how'd you get there?
It's a funny question. I was playing in an orchestra where he came out and did, I don't know if it was a clinic or a lecture, or I don't really remember. It was probably, I don't know, 4-ish years before I reached out to him. But like, I'd heard him and I thought, oh, this is great. I bet you he'll help a lot of people.
Right.
You know, and then when I was like feeling in the bottom of a big poop swamp, I was like, I think I'm going to reach out to that. And I hadn't, you know what I mean? It was just, he came up and so there I went. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, sometimes these people come by and you think you're never going to use them. And then, I mean, yeah, you're grasping at straws and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that guy's there. I mean, it's great that it made such an impact on you. I'm curious, you know.
I didn't know he took like one-on-one. So that way he made a huge impact on me.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, look, when it comes to the realm of health and holistic, I guess, yeah, nutrition and health and stuff like that, to me, shatter this myth for me. Maybe, I don't know if you can. I always imagine, and I think this is kind of what has, brains like mine really do not. When I see books about health, when I see these diets, when I see that when you're working with a coach on a nutrition plan and all this stuff, to me, it brings up that same rigidity of the violin player. that's what scares me. I'm going, okay, I need to start getting these exact ingredients and I need to learn how to cook. And then in the morning, I'm going to do these stretches and all these things. And I'm going to comply. And I see people that follow these health codes. I mean, I get annoyed by these people. I get people that talk about counting their calories and all this stuff. Is there a way to do it that's a little more kumbaya, Hakuna Matata? Like, can you tap into that? Because to me, wellness on purpose feels like a very burdensome thing when it comes to personal health, eating, and exercise. Please help me, Megan. Spin me around. Point me in the right direction. What do you have to say to that?
I understand you, and you're right. It's so funny because a lot of the diets and a lot of the exercise and get up and do this routine and make these things and stretch, like, you crack me up. But yeah, it can feel really burdensome, right?
Yeah.
And I don't do that. I don't flow with that. I did do that, and that's, it didn't work for me. You know, it gave me, made my allergies worse and made me sick or gave me digestive problems. And also, like, the people that have real clinical anxiety or suffer from, like, feeling anxious or overly stressed, people that are, you know, emotional eaters or any of those types, like, also the type of food that you eat or try to restrict from or whatever feeds into those problems. So I really believe in taking your wellness on purpose, like, on purpose for you, everything, like, what you do, like, what is the purpose of this moment, right? The purpose of this moment is I will look into my computer and talk to you, right? The purpose of this moment is I will pick up this pen, like, coming back to right now. So if you come back to right now and you start to figure out, you know, with yourself or with a coach, if you don't know what you're doing, what your body actually runs on the best is what you need is not what I need to eat. And what you needed, you know, 6 years ago is not what you need to eat now, right? It's going to be different. And I mean, of course, allergies and such, but even with you feel the clean slate and no allergies, like, you are your own, like, bio individual body. And so I feel like a lot of the rigidity can be released, all of it eventually. And the stress of, like, doing it right, the right things to eat, because everybody says the right things are to eat is that and not that. And then other people will say this and then not, you know, it's just, it's so unclear. And everybody thinks they have the magic shake or the magic keto or the magic whole 30 or the magic no carbs, right? And it's not that. It's not any of that. And our bodies actually need, I mean, in general, water, what Mother Nature gives us, which is vegetables and fruits and, like, legit real whole grains that are, like, not the processed whatever, not the boxes with the pretty things. I mean, if you eat animal protein, okay, but an adequate amount, not like a whole cow, more protein than animal protein, but it's very simple what we need, and then finding the right amount for you and what you actually thrive on, you know, will be different than me, but, like, finding it's, I feel like what I love about this is that you do become more on purpose. Because you're making sure to give yourself what you run the most efficiently on, what you run the best on, what balances your emotions and gives you energy and makes you feel good and more productive at work and able to chase after your children or, you know, I mean, whatever you need. So I feel like what I love to do for people is take away the rigidity and make it a lot more easy, and finding that they can eat so many things that you can eat, everything you can eat, you know?
Yeah. What do you, I mean, is this, I'm curious about, you know, if you go to your website, there's stuff that looks delicious. I mean, we're talking, like, blondie mini muffins, healthy chocolate pudding. Already I'm drawn in because I'm going, oh, yeah, you're putting desserts out there. That is great. And I was going to say, you know, it's so easy. Again, I'm making this about myself, but I don't know if people can relate to this. It's so easy for me to just go, okay, I'm starving right now. Well, there's all these delivery apps out there. Let me just get that same Chinese food again. And it's because it's all, what I've always had and all this stuff. And this process of learning what is a healthier alternative is very daunting. It's daunting. It's daunting to learn how to cook, and it's daunting. And it feels as if this generation, maybe it's the millennial generation. I mean, look at it, Blue Apron, these companies that are catering to laziness in some ways of people that don't know how to cook stuff themselves. So they'll give you a subscription and you put it together yourself. I mean, I feel very lost in all of it. It seems like it's a big thing. I mean, what would you say to someone like me in terms of, you know, what is the easiest way to not do the easiest way of eating?
Well, that's funny because, yeah, it can be daunting to cook. And then you can be like, there's these apps, or I'll do the Blue Apron, the HelloFresh, like totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't really have to cook. But it's, here's the easy, whether it's millennial or just lazy human,
Yes, yes.
But I mean, first of all, I work with my clients, and I do fully believe that we need to also be able to eat out and enjoy it and go to social functions and enjoy it. Like, it's not so restrictive. I don't believe in restriction. I don't believe in do not eat, right? The easiest thing to do, I can tell you the easiest way that I find for lazy man cooking, but also
please tell me. Actually, that sounds perfect for me. I think my mom listens to this episode. She'll love this. Yeah, what's the easiest thing you would do for a lazy man cooking?
Well, those big, not a frying pan, but sort of a big frying pan that have edges. You know, the big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I just go low and slow, even tonight. So I'll share with you what I made tonight. But I just chopped up a bunch of broccolini, which is small and great.
Yeah.
I chopped up a couple colorful carrots because you can get those rainbow carrots anywhere. So I took a purple and an orange, right? Threw it in there. I have some leeks, threw them in there. Tempeh, right? It's super easy in most every single store, including the Trader Joe's fermented. So it's like a better, in my opinion, better textured version of tofu. And soybeans, it's delicious. I threw that in there. And what else did I put in tonight? Oh, some baby bellas. And I put it in, and I put the lid on, and I just put it on low and slow, and it did its own thing. And then when it was done, I put it in a bowl and tossed it with a ton of herbs. And I think I put raw pecans on it, and then it was delicious.
That sounds pretty good.
I just put, and it could be whatever. I mean, you could, if you hate broccolini and carrots and mushrooms, it doesn't matter. Like, what do you like? Spinach and butternut squash? I don't know.
Yeah.
You can throw in whatever. And I just try to make it colorful as you can. See that there's some plant-based protein. Like, do you have some black beans in your house? Great, eat those.
Yeah.
Find some healthy fat, like avocado or a healthy oil or some raw nuts or seeds or something like that. Herbs, multiple colors. Great.
Do you ever work with people? I mean, I think this is a very practical advice. I'm curious how often does it get spiritual for you? I mean, is there anybody that ever goes, yeah, you know what? You get this whole intuitive thing too, but just give me the health advice. Or do you always go there? What is your connection to using spirituality in this work?
It just comes in. And if the person, because if it's a client who's doing 12 weeks, there will be some sessions where it's just literally food, 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 food. And I can dork out about food all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not even a problem. But, and then there are some sessions where food doesn't really even come up and other stuff comes up, because it's all connected, right? It's the food on our plate, but also our lifestyle choices and how they're related both affect our health, right? So if you're drinking all the green juice, but you're having toxic relationship at work or crappy home life or something, your health is going to suffer, right? And so we could come into a session thinking we're going to talk about broccoli, but we might end up talking about what's going on at work because maybe your two best friends have left the practice and everybody expects you to leave too, and they're giving you a raise, but you'd rather leave, So then And so then when you talk through things, there's other people who talk about having, you know, premonitions themselves that, or whatever. So spirituality, intuition comes into it a lot. And there are a couple people that I've just, you know, had straight up food talks with, and it's just food and all about food. And that's all they want to talk about. And it's wonderful because, again, I can play with that all day. So then that's just food and it's done. So I'm going to say 90% of the time.
Oh, what? Yeah. How weird does it get? I mean, do you have, because everybody uses intuition differently these days. Intuitiveness is the thing you hear. You know, do you say things that come up for people and go, oh my gosh, Megan, how did you know that? You know, what is some of your more, I suppose, fringy antics? Some things that people would go, wow, that's almost a miracle that she said that to me.
I think sometimes when I'm talking with people, not sometimes, all of the times, it's not just like me hearing my intuition, but it's also like they start noticing their own or their guides come in too. And because there are deeper roots to things. Like somebody might share that they, you know, had a child pass and then they sense something might happen to their husband. This actually happened to me. Sense something might happen to their husband, and then sense something might happen to their dad. This is before they met me. And so they were sensing something might happen with their daughter, but it was health related and she wanted to go into food. So we went into food, and then during the third session, all of this other stuff came out. And so it's interesting because people, I don't know if she knew that I was this way either, but then we started to go more into the root causes of what's underneath it. And yeah, no, it's just, there was a lot of control underneath it because of wanting to control her child passing, but then her child also comes in to help give her the premonition. So it's,
this is interesting because you're starting to go into stuff that is so far away from holding yourself in plank position. You know, I mean, it really, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of, that's very interesting. It's very interesting. I've always wondered, I mean, I have seen in when I was in, I went to NYU to study acting. And when I was in school, they always talked about how you could move sometimes if you just got someone to tilt their head in a certain direction and say a speech, say a line in a play, all of a sudden unlocking that emotion or unlocking that physical block is going to lead them to start sobbing tears. And I always wondered about that. I'm curious. I mean, are there, in the physical work, do you encounter moments of positions that people all of a sudden get into and then that traumatic moment from childhood just comes out? And if you do, what's going on there, in your opinion?
It happened to me, actually, because like I was a runner for a long time. Now I cycle, and my hamstrings happen to be very tight.
Right.
So it's endurance sports. And when I go in, I don't often enough, say true confession, need to go back to yoga a lot more because it's just good for me. I'm not good at it. It's good for me. And in those yin yoga classes, which is funny because, of course, I was talking about with my client yesterday that maybe she wants to look into yin yoga because she was bringing up something else with motion and something. And then her guides come in and say, have her try yin yoga, right? And she's like, oh, that sounds fascinating. I will definitely try it, right? And for me, when I go into that and you hold those poses, some of them you're like, oh, I'll never be able to hold this and I can't breathe in it. And then all of a sudden you get into it further because you hold them for longer. And I, you know, it's not even, it's like involuntary tears come out because there's release from your muscles and there's release from emotional tension that you've been holding in your body. And yeah, I mean, what that is emotional tension that you've been holding in your body, and it will come out. And who knows what it'll come out. Will you recognize what it is? Maybe. Maybe you'll recognize that it's hurt from your childhood. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just be sobbing and don't know why it needs to come out, because maybe mentally you felt you worked through stuff. But I've experienced that personally, where I'm on the yoga mat and doing something, and anything that opens my hamstrings, I start to cry.
Oh,
Interesting. Interesting. I wonder what's in there. What, you know, I don't know if there's anything from childhood or any.
I'm sure that there's like a lot of yoga people that would be able to say exactly what you, which I think is very cool. I like that too, but I don't, that's not mine.
Yeah.
I just have experienced that, but yeah, no, it's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. We're starting to, okay, this is interesting. Now, look, I know that, you know, so much of this health work, at least what people have been saying about your work, is that you really are able to point people to how much of health is in their psyche. How much health is, good health is connected to people's psyches. And I thought that was an interesting, it was one of your testimonials, actually. Someone said, oh yeah, Megan really showed me the power of that. How is it, how so is as having a healthy lifestyle, especially when it comes to like the losing weight and being in peak physical condition, you know, where do you, where did you get these insights about people's psyches as it relates to that, and what are those insights?
I mean, it's absolutely all connected. Like, kind of, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's like, the way you do one thing is how you do everything.
Hmm.
So, like, if you could just, like, give a day scenario, like a trite day scenario, but you wake up kind of, like, wound up about the stuff you've got on your plate and sort of, like, worried about the day ahead, so you're sort of on the wrong side of the bed and get up and you're hectic and spill your coffee or something happens and you fly out the door and you drive crazy to work, there's traffic, you get to work, like it's just sort of snowballs and spirals, right? And so it's sort of like you probably eat in a hurry, you probably don't exercise, you probably don't acknowledge yourself at all, and then you might snap in the kids when you pick them up in the car, you know, it's sort of just, even if you don't want to, and even if you would have rather woken up and felt better. And I really believe that if you, like, every moment of every day, try to make it more on purpose. That's challenging, right? Every moment of the day. But at least one moment of the day, you could say, right now, I'm going to give myself a glass of water. Because the body is 90% water, and right now I'm a desert, right? So then you drink that glass of water, and even if it's just that moment, like what I feel now, you're sitting here saying that coming into myself is like, I feel the floor under my feet and I feel my hip joints sitting on the chair. And I, you know, like I just come more into here. And if you can come more into here, the space or yourself or your heart center or whatever you want to reference, then you can also pause a second if stuff is flying around you like crazy storm. And notice that you have a pack of cookies in your hand that you didn't intend on having or eating. Notice that you might be driving like a bat out of hell when you can't control the traffic. Notice that you have like one flip-flop on and another shoe that's, you know, like you can take a moment. And I literally, I know it sounds out there, but I really try to actually live my life that way. And it has, so much has shifted for me and my entire, like,
yeah,
hot, like rigid, high-strung, tightly wound violin personalities will not change. I'm a very different person, and so eating and health is also with that, because the tension you hold in your body, if you're like all uptight or you're, and then you're just grabbing food of convenience, whether it's off of apps or Blue Apron. I'm sure Blue Apron and stuff has some great stuff, but I just, like, if you're just grabbing food of convenience, not really thinking, drinking kind of crap and maybe a sip of water and not really moving, like on purpose, like taking a walk maybe or riding a bike or something, and just holding rigid tension, then you're in flight or fight, right? And everything is back there and you're sort of in stress response. And the more you can take a moment, which allows you to mindfully eat something, or mindfully stop freaking out, or mindfully drive a little more safely, or whatever you're doing, it literally shifts the chemicals in your brain to more of a relaxation.
Yeah. You are playing me like a fiddle right now, by the way. No pun intended. Well, yeah, actually intended. You actually are. You really are, in the sense that I am trancing out so hard listening to you right now. I am, which is great. I mean, I always call it out when somebody is going, taking me into hypnotic land, when someone's trancing me on this show, because, you know, that's part of my goal, bringing awareness to hypnosis and talking about it as, you know, as my listeners frequently know. Sorry, everybody listening, I'm bringing up that I study hypnosis again the millionth time, and do it. But no, you as you were bringing awareness to the moment, I was so with you. I was so trancing out. You were talking about, and you kept going, and I was really riding that wave with you, and you started inspiring other ideas in me, which, again, I know I'm not being present right now because I'm thinking about the idea that you gave me, but that's fine. Self-awareness is the first step. But that said, purpose. Here's something you made me shift. You shifted something in me, which is amazing, Megan. Mindfulness, the idea of waking up, the way you do something is the way you do everything, and the way you do something is the way you do everything. I've always heard one of the solutions to eating in a much healthier way, mindful eating, is to, you know, put the bread in your mouth and take a bite and chew it 30 times or whatever and really get all the, and I said, okay, yeah, whatever. I guess that's a thing you're supposed to remember. But this idea of purpose, wellness on purpose, a life of purpose, a lifestyle of mindfulness, where everything you do is coming from that place as being the means to health, as opposed to just I mindfully eat as a technique. That's different for me. I've never really thought about the idea of really adjusting yourself to mindfully move through the world. And I mean, look, that seems like an exercise that could take a long time for people, but also, maybe if you just tuned into your body every once in a while, it wouldn't. In your experience, yeah, what is mastery like when it comes to living on purpose always?
I think it's really just like letting it be practical mindfulness, you know what I mean? Because like when you were talking about, you know, the problem of the millennials and the daunting of the cooking and the whatever, like whatever is the easiest and the most practical for you, like, how can I make this easier, right? Well, I can make it easier to be healthy by adding extra vegetables, right? Practical mindfulness with eating and exercising and life and health and family and relationships and work. Like, I feel like living on purpose as much as you can is literally just trying to take it down to now, because there's not much. I mean, I know that sounds super cliche.
Yes, yes.
It's taking it, because it's not cliche, although it's been made cliche, because it's literally this, right? Because the past is very important, but it's not right now is what's happening. And so even now, right now, and we decide what can I do the best for my body. If the only thing you can do right now is go stand outside for a minute and breathe fresh air, because you haven't gotten outside, go do that.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of daunting things. There's this idea in my head about, you know, my sister's having a wedding coming up second half after the new year, 2022. And there's all our family was talking about, oh, well, we got to eat healthier so we can look good for the wedding pictures. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what? And now I'm going to have to start going back to the gym more regularly and all this stuff and get in shape. And it's just like such a, this idea, I mean, you must think the way the media portrays, they play into the insecurities all the time. This idea of the beach body, get that summer body. You know, what's your recommendation for sorting through all of those messages so that you can really tune into a practical way of getting in shape?
Well, I mean, first of all, the most important thing that came in is like, what is your why, right? Is your why actually to get in shape for the wedding pictures? I mean, sure, maybe, but like underneath that, is your why because you're not feeling healthy? Is your why because you're worried about your health? Is your why because you actually want, you know, like pull that in there and keep coming back to it. And the easiest thing is, if you don't go to the gym right now regularly, that's okay. Can you say to yourself, all right, today I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to walk 10 minutes away from my door and 10 minutes back from my door. That's 100% more than doing nothing.
Yeah.
You won. And after you did that, you can say yay. And then you might feel like drinking an entire glass of water. Give yourself like an A+ on your A. And you can say just for now, I just literally, what can I do now? Do you want to go and throw yourself in the gym when it sounds like you kind of hate it? No, then don't do that, right? Like, don't do that. Go do something you like. And I have one client who thought that shifting the eating would be the hard part and the exercise would be easier. Eating has been easier, and finding things that she considers enjoyable for motion has been a challenge. But, you know, 3 months later, she really enjoys riding her bike on a trail with no cars. Great. Good. Can't do that every day. That's okay. But she used to just like fear, dread, and abhor any form of exercise. And now she has something she likes on a nice day. I consider that a big win. You know, so if you want to get in shape for your daughter or sister's or niece's wedding, I would say the first thing you could say is, every morning, the first thing I'm going to put in my body is a whole glass of water. If I do nothing else, I've already done something better than I usually do. And then you can say, today I'm going to take a walk. Just do little actionable things that, I mean, you can set big goals and reach them, but just set a goal for today and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, in general, I appreciate you addressing me directly, because I know I asked, which is great. Do you think, you know, for someone listening to this that is thinking about, I need to get in shape, or this mindset of I need to, they're seeing all these images out there of what bodily perfection is. You know, how do you twist that comparison mindset? I feel like you must have a spin on that for people that are so just sucked into who they think they should look like.
Really hard. It's really, the comparison mindset is hard for everybody, especially now where like there are so many visual platforms.
Yeah.
You know, like whether it's, I mean, Instagram with all the beautiful pictures and, you know, some of the it's hard to not get sucked into the comparison, and like what you used to look like in high school or what you think you should look like, and the shoulding all over yourself is a very bad thing, right?
Right, right.
And I mean, one thing I do, at least for myself, is you can start with like, okay, where I want to be, where you want to be, and feel the feeling just for like 4 minutes, doesn't have to be long, 2 minutes, of where the feeling of where you want to be in like 3 months or 6 months, health wise or looks wise or physical fitness wise, or it doesn't matter, and hold that feeling. And then you can write some I am statements instead of being so mean to yourself, like we are all day long, right? Like instead of being like, I'm a lazy sack of water, you know, you can say, I am, you can just say, I am female. I am sitting in this chair. I'm 5 feet tall. You know, you can go with that, but then you can start saying, I am happy. I am spiritual. I am living in a mountain home, and I am a millionaire. You know what I mean? Like start. And say the I ams now, but I ams thank you in advances, right? Getting back to the spiritual, like instead of prayers for supplication, you go assuming that the hows will be delivered to you better if you step more into what you do. So what I'm going to do is take care of myself. Thank you for me taking care of myself. I'm healthy and vibrant, right? So that I can have that banging body. It's sort of like go into who you are now that actually works. It's not just like spiritual bypass, self-love, self-care. It's legitimately, what is good? What do you like about you? Is there one thing, you know? And just go in to hold your why you want to be fit. Sit. Feel how you want to feel, like the feeling in your gut, like that gut feeling. And then make some sitting. You got to get off the social media. Maybe set alarms for 30 minutes. Go in there, see your friends and family. Enjoy it. Shut it off and go more into yourself and into nature and into what you are. And it's really hard with like what's out there now. But
yeah,
it's dropping the limiting beliefs is one of the hardest things.
Megan, you are you know, I've talked to different coaches. I've talked to psychics on the show. I've talked to all sorts of, you know, people in this, weirdos on this show and people in all different backgrounds. I really genuinely believe you're great at this. I feel there is something about you that feels different to me than some of the other people out there. I know sometimes people come on this show, I've heard it on other podcasts, and they really come in and they have an agenda and they're pitching people on their coaching program and they're trying to get them to sell these weeks. And I feel for some reason, even looking at your website and engaging with you from the beginning, there's something very authentic about you that's equally supportive, equally encouraging, motivating, that doesn't feel like it's coaxed in this, okay, at the end of this interview, you're going to be like, yeah, Greg, well, you want more of this? Sign up for my 10-week program. I mean, that's remarkable to me for some reason. You know, I want to call attention to it. Do you know what that is? Are you aware of this different energy and this authentic nature that you have? Because it's pretty marvelous.
Thank you. I can feel it, but I'm trying to tap more into like being able to say what it is. I have a business coach who I love. I'll shout her out. Her name is Sarah Hudson. And I feel like I am a fusion between health and wellness and spirituality, but it's not. Yeah, I do feel it, but thank you for acknowledging it. Because thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't see that, you know, maybe you would one day, but I don't think you're going to start, I don't think you're coaching people to become coaches necessarily anytime soon, or this kind of thing where it's just multi-level marketing of coaching, which often happens in this game. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, in all your messaging, it feels very genuine. I mean, do you get all sorts of clients? Who are the people that find you?
It's funny because all of my clients are so different, because people will say like, who do you work with? And I mean, I guess if you want to say a broad spectrum, it is people who just like are wide open to me. They do. They're not necessarily wide open at the beginning, but I mean, I had one of my very first clients. She actually did 9 months with me. Is a world class rower, like ranked in the world, and she came to me, and her only goal was to quit sugar for good. And then after 9 months, she was realizing that cleaning out her filing cabinets was also like clearing out areas where she was trying to validate that she had meant something in different areas of her life. You know, it's beautiful and fascinating. It all comes together. So who I coach and who my clients are, they're all very different people. They all are looking for like not a quick fix. They haven't worked. Some people have had like debilitating eating disorders and want a new relationship with food. And they come out, like one of them texted me today and said she's really excited because now she can share so much with these friends who are looking to go more plant-based. And so I don't know, Greg, my clients are pretty awesome and they span the spectrum of age as well, from teenagers to 80s.
Wow.
But yeah, I guess I would say they're all just really open. They're open to trying different things because nothing has worked. Whether it's quitting sugar or dropping the extra pounds or dealing with their anxiety, you know, more naturally along with their doctors, you know.
Now I want to know the secret. Why do you work and other things don't? What is the secret sauce here?
I think it's because I help you work with you, I think. Because, I mean, what it is playing with things that, like, I know, but, like, okay, intuitive hits for certain foods or certain exercises or something will come in and we'll try them. You can be love that, hate that, whatever, but it's actually finding, like, what would be, I mean, I'll just use you because you're in front of me on the screen, but, like, what is going to actually be the best for you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, orally, as far as eating and sustaining your energy, or when you come and find your place, space, you're emotional and you dealing with something or physical exercise or whatever. I think the secret is literally finding what you like and what works for your body and what makes you thrive, instead of keeping putting diesel or like the wrong gas in your fancy race car tank, keep like the right fuel in, combo all the things, and all of a sudden you feel like, I've never felt this good.
Why do I like carbs so much? What's going on there? What are the guides telling you? What do I do about this carbs thing?
Sugar is an opiate, so you need to go more into the not refined carbs and the whole grains and the,
oh, interesting.
And sugar itself is an opiate, and the white flowers translate into sugar, right? And booze translates into sugar, and there's also inflammatory oil. So this is like learning. It's not hard. It sounds super complicated, but it's just sort of like learning what ingredients are hidden all over the place, and then learning what carbs will like help you thrive and be awesome.
Yeah.
You can eat carbs, but probably not the ones that you're addicted to.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know that coaching, I've certainly joked about on this show, and I've dismissed a lot of coaching as, you know, because it's such a saturated industry. But what you're saying resonates with me in a different way, in the sense that this idea that there is so much information out there, there are diet books and magazines, and it's just everywhere, but that someone could work with someone like you who has this background that gets these intuitive hits that comes from various different spiritual disciplines, and could all of a sudden, because there is a human-to-human connection, gain knowledge that they would not find in a book, speaks to me about, well, maybe something that is missing collectively, which is really deep intimacy with other humans. I mean, it's almost weird that we have to pay coaches. We have to now pay people to receive information and knowledge just because there's an overload of information that is pushing us away from connecting with others. You know, I mean, hey, look, that's big picture kind of me addressing the cultural moment. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? The idea of coaching versus just accessing the infinite information C that we're constantly being bombarded with.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, it's not that people, it's, I mean, do I coach and teach and share with people things they didn't know? Sure. But I mean, you can look up anything. I mean, you can ask Dr. Google, right?
Yeah.
You can learn so much from the books and the information and the internet and everything. But what it really is, like you said, it's the intimacy, it's the person, it's the you, right? So it's like, well, it's like with little kids, if you're teaching little kids or something, a lot of the times the information you're giving could be the same as the next guy, but it's going to be how the kid feels you or senses you or bonds with you or whatever that they're going to actually, you know, receive or soak in the information and learn it and do it better. And I think it really is more like the actual, I mean, you're talking about coaches, and yeah, I do agree with you, but I think it's actually the coach and the teacher and the you know, learnee or the student, and it's that bond and the relationship that can then translate what information out there would work or isn't there, because it's actually in the client who actually knows better about their body. Because like a lot of times they'll, you know, If you said to me, well, what do I do about carbs? I love carbs. How do I stop eating carbs? You know, if I said, well, what does your body actually want more? You'd probably know.
Hmm. Oh gosh, you got me there. Oh gosh, you got me again. It's Megan Jones. You're unassuming. See, I knew this conversation would get pretty wild. And look, you know what? I know you have this. You have a lot of cool things going on. First of all, I always love a free one-on-one session that's more than 20 minutes, which is great. I know you do 60-minute conversations, which, hey, look, I'm pulled in. I love this already. But you also have this free guide with 10 tips on what to eat more of to shed the weight. Now, look, we were just talking about information out there and people not applying this information. I mean, what do you, this 10 tips guide, what is, do you have a different spin on a traditional 10 tips, one sheet, if you will?
There are certain fruits that you can eat more of that help with different ways with like fiber and plant proteins and the vegetables and fermented foods. And it's not going to be anything that people couldn't find on Google.
Yeah.
But it's a more holistic view.
Yeah. More simple. Maybe that's it. You're deceptively simple in some ways, but the simplicity is profound. Simplicity is profound. I don't mean that to reduce what you're doing. I mean, it's the truth of being in the now with eating, wellness on purpose. It's just, it's very zen. It's, I'm endlessly fascinated by all this. And of course you have tons of different programs. I mean, you have this 40-day reset group, you do personal fitness trainings. I guess I'm curious, is there anything that you designed all these different programs? What do you think in terms of guiding people in the right direction? I imagine that's what that first chat is with people, but can people really get it after 40 days?
Well, that's really fun, and it will shift. Stuff will really shift over 40 days. If I'm running one of those groups, for sure, those are really fun, and they can be.
I was going to say, you're doing so many programs. How is there enough Megan to go around?
I mean, right now I'm not running that 40 days. So
you kind of do different phases of different.
But, I mean, what most people end up signing up for is like the 3 months, like 12 weeks, 12 calls, and we just work together like this, you know, intimately, and it's kind of like concierge health coaching, basically, but it's basically, if people want to hop on like a free call and talk, and we literally just talk about them and how we would do it together if they would want to, and then we go from there. So it's beautiful, actually, because some people will say, yeah, I definitely could see the 3 months. Some people want longer. Some people say, do you do 2 months? Well, it's personal.
I know. I love this. This has been, hey, look, you know, again, I'm going, okay, does Megan see UFOs too, please? Does she, is there something weird going on? And we did hit on that.
UFO. I would totally love to see
you. If anybody out there can show Megan a UFO, she'll go 65 minutes with you on that first introductory call. She might. No, I love this. Hey, this has been very fascinating. You definitely blew my mind several times. Wellnessonpurpose.org. We'll link to everything. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been great.
Thank you for having me. I've had a good time.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Megan Jones. Wellness on Purpose. Definitely check out her stuff. Love her energy. Love how deep into consciousness she goes in a matter of seconds. It's it was great. It definitely was. She took me on a journey. If you enjoy Open Loops, hey, let me know about it. Follow me on at
Greg Bornstein on Instagram. I really enjoyed this conversation. It's okay, I'm going to stand up from the chair now. I'm going to stand up from the chair. I'm going to stand up. I promise I will.